would love to place that just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
I still love that voice. Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and busy weekend, busy day. Good news! Saturday, I got not one, but two postcards! What a joy to get postcards from my family. I got one from George and from Gloria Jane. Well, let's... you know, when I grew up, it was the idea of girls first. Proverbs 31, Romans 7, 1 Corinthians 6 and 7, Titus 2, and 1 Peter 3 are not seen, lived in front of you. You can still live them yourself. Trust our Creator. Love, Dan. George, yet another card was returned yesterday. It is censorship and against the law. One day you might find out. Over 50 returned cards are pinned on my wall. Kozlowska.org/wall. Offer grace. Love, Dad. Gee. Offer grace. Where have I seen that before? I wanted to also make sure, just a trivial point from last week. Here's the book from Erica Lee, Erica Sams. And it is, as I pointed out, a signed copy. Dad, thanks for taking the time to read and share my book. It means so much. Love always, Erica Lee. Your number one child, because I'm the oldest. This was at a time, not too long ago, when there was a warm relationship. And it changed. Why is that? You know, she embraces atheism and censors her dad. So I don't know. But over the weekend, I watched a couple of videos, and the link will be on them, from about a year ago, a little over a year ago. One was a postcard to George, loving me like loving the Afghans. I found it fascinating because in it, I talked about Nord Stream 2, I talked about a gentleman in Senegal, and I talked about generational hatred. And all those things I've mentioned recently, you know, because obviously the Nord Stream 2, you know, I made the joke about that I was in Denmark. And honestly, let me be honest, it wasn't me. It was just a joke. But the gentleman in Senegal, I mean, it's the photo on my wall. And I need to make sure I put that photo link on there. And of course, I talked about generational hatred because that was one of the subject matters discussed in reference to Ukraine, because it was mentioned in a video that what's his name? Roger Stone, is that right? Anyway, did about, you know, famous guy, big budget. But I also did one postcard to George, evidence about the vaccine. So both of these were postcards to George. And, you know, I made some suggestions, gave some warnings. And if you listen to that, I think you'll find I was pretty darn accurate. And there's a problem with that. But I've had a lot of interactions with people in the last few days. Some are just new ones that I've just sent out emails about. But I've had interactions with people face-to-face. Several. And some of them have been extremely delightful. And it shows one of the things that is so much on my mind. As I mentioned before, you know, one of us quoted, I think it was me, I quoted 1 Corinthians 13. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And I've talked so much about how I enjoy what you would call the intellectual pursuit of the theology of to know Christ well, intimately, in the knowledge of the Scripture, to know Him that way. And I think that's vital. It's very important. But if that's all I have and have not love, I am nothing. And I really think in the last 3 days, I've been striving to deal with people that I don't go in the depth like I do. You know, and the irony was, because, you know, again, one of the important things a man needs in his life is organic bananas. So Sunday I did take a hike to Publix to get them. And on the return trip, I did specifically wait till the afternoon. One, because it was warmer, because it's not as warm as it used to be. And two, because I was hoping that I might have an opportunity to see Miss Lillian. And as I was approaching her house, I saw her drive off. I think it was her and her son, because her son's car was there. So I anyway, just the timing I thought was just interesting. But I am very pressed on, it's become very much on my mind that my time to do software work is coming to an end. There will be a day that, I mean, it simply won't happen anymore. Lack of abilities, lack of breath, one of the two. And so it's become very much a focus to try to find someone to interface with. And I've been trying in a lot of ways. I've talked with friends to ask them if they know somebody. And the comment I usually get is people are too scared. So I've gone to people who have a higher profile. In the past, most of those ignored me. But I've tried again with several, including one today where I offered, well, actually, I sent two emails today, and I offered some substance. And I'm hoping that the substance will open the dialogue. We'll see. But one of the things in doing that is I'm finding, because the people I'm going after, trying to communicate with, are not, in general, the rock solid, I believe in Christ, I am, you know, a solid Christian. Not at all. Because I can't find any of those. You know, it's so many people that I've talked with recently who are Christian. One of the things you can't talk to a Christian about is theology. What it is to know Christ. Don't want to go there. And it really concerns me. So one of the thoughts I've had for a long time is Acts 18. But of course. And I've been wondering about this. And so I did some a quick read of it again, including some of the related things. And I'm wondering about this very much, how it applies to what I'm trying to do. Because again, one of the things that I've tried to state very clearly, one of the advantages with the techniques used in Shofar Nexus or Shofar Leaks in particular, shofarleaks.com, I say it directly, is it is a technology idea. It is not a policy. And therefore, I can work with people I disagree with because I can hand them something, and it's not because I will then be obligated to somebody I disagree with, but I've handed them the same tools I would hand to somebody I agree with. And that's important to me. Oh, and one other thing before I get more on Acts. I did have an interaction where I got response. The irony is, it was a professing Christian. And he, I set a challenge before him, and he sent me a short response, basically cutting off communications. He's in Ukraine. I found that fascinating. But Acts 18, verse 6, this is a reference to Paul. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And there's two parts to them. The second part, "From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." I've thought of that actually for years because I've wondered, is in the sense that I strive to hit, that's the wrong word. I strive to engage the Christian community. And the Christian community gives me silence. You know, considering Jim Cross, Rhonda Keynes, Chris Bitterman, yeah. Metaview, Covenant Presbyterian, yeah, silence. Their leadership, it's silence. So it's kind of like go to the Gentiles. And I'm going to check. I didn't check this, but I will check it now. And because of the way the monitor is sitting, it's not so easy. But I think it is. And yep, going to the Gentiles, the ethnos. You know, because I find that important, because a lot of times you think Gentiles, oh, we have the Jews and the Gentiles. And the Gentiles being the non-Jews. The word there, ethnos, and that's what it normally is. I haven't, you know, I can't tell you off the top of my head if it's universal, but I probably is. The ethnos is the idea of a group of people bound by a certain characteristic. And it could be a variety of things. As again, I've mentioned, language, location, skin color, things of that nature, diet, whatever. So it's, the depth of that, I'm not sure, but I do find it interesting going to the Gentiles, going to the ethnos, going to, so I wonder about, I've tried to go to the Christian community, you know, the obvious is show for a book, but and when I've had some dialogue on that, and it's been very little, but there have been at least one or two, I think, I don't remember how many, where you want to reach the Muslim community, oh, write them off, effectively, is the attitude. No, I'm sorry, I can't. But the verse before, well, okay. Just to finish that one thing. If you go back to Acts 9, Paul had his rather profound experience on the Damascus Road, and then he was sent to a man named Ananias, and Ananias was saying, "Hey, I don't want to deal with this guy. He has a reputation." But then verse 9:15, but the Lord said to him, "Go, for he's a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings of the children of Israel, and kings and the children of Israel." So it is not just the Gentiles alone. And okay, I'm going to check verse 15, because, you know, it is... You know, he said, before the nations, before the ethnos, before the kings, the Basileia, and the sons of Israel. Now, you know, again, there is the issue of Israel has multiple meanings, but this is specifically the sons of Israel. So are we talking the biological descendants? I haven't studied it that much, but that would be my first impression. So it's not that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles alone. He is to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Obviously, he went to Caesar. So, you know, a king. The idea of your blood be on your own heads, I am innocent. That one has fascinated me for a long time, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned it before. But where do we see this? And this is where I find some interesting things. So just really quickly, Matthew 27. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather the riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." This is when, at the trial of Jesus. And all the people answered, His blood be on us and our children. You know, that is some, you know, there are a lot of scary phrases in the Bible. That is one of them. These people are shouting, we are rejecting our Creator, and we will take the condemnation of our Creator, and we will pass it also to our own descendants. That's effectively what they're saying. Scary words. Really, really scary words. Those are scary words. But another place we see this idea is in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from among them and make him their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming in the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. So in other words, if you get warned by somebody blowing a trumpet, I wonder what the word is for that. Oh, yes, I know what it is. Shofar. Literally one of these. Not loosely, not figuratively, literally one of these. This particular one, as some may know, has been used as the symbol of Shofar Nexus. So, I'm blowing the trumpet. What is the watchman, the Skopos, which I've talked about? You know, the Skopos, is the watchman, the skeptic, and the Episkopos, which is based on Skopos, the overseer. So anyway, the overseer, or the watchman, is called to blow the shofar. And I'm not going to try it with this because I've tried it and it was pathetic and so on. Anyway. But where this all connects, I chose the word Shofar Nexus. Actually, it was initially Shofar Media, but obviously I have Shofar Nexus, I have Shofar Leaks, which is one of the things I very much talked about lately, and sent an email on today to someone who is involved with leakers. Shofar Portfolio, Shofar Coin, and so forth. I use Shofar as my term. If you look in the files I generate, they're called Shofar files, you know, whatever dot Shofar on the file. And if you look at the XML, the root element is Shofar. Anyway, so it's as I say, you know, there was a company a while back chose a word like Google. You know, it's normal. You grab a word, and that word becomes the identifier of you. Well, Shofar is the identifier of Shofar Nexus and all the things I do. And it is a tool. It, obviously, you hear a lot of it about it used in worship services. I mentioned this Torah observing Messianic Israel, this local, and I use the word cult for them. And that I actually did interact, and they actually responded. So a cult will respond. People who say they claim to follow Christ, well, you know, ignore him. Maybe that's the point. So, I think there is that call to be the watchman. And you use a shofar to communicate. It's not just a religious celebration. The shofar is used to communicate. It's to communicate, to warn. And again, one of my early models, ancient communications for modern times. That's what Shofar Nexus is all about. And if anyone hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take the warning, you know, it's, again, if you go back to the videos that I mentioned from a year ago about the evidence of the vaccine and the loving me like the loving the Afghans, where I talked about the generational hatred and things of that nature. It was a warning. I know of people who've had the vaccines One of them's dead. Anyway. But okay, so there is the warning aspect, and the idea of from now on I'll go to the Gentiles or the ethnos. I've been trying to warn, sort of, as best I can, the followers of Christ. And I've been wondering, actually, for many, many months, if the Acts 18, I need to look at myself. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Because I can't get, I don't know how, I haven't found somebody in the Christian community. You know, I was dealing with this man, had several, over the period of a week approximately, several emails back and forth, and I invested some time in those emails trying to contend from him with scripture to encourage him to go in a particular direction because of his concern for people in Pakistan. And all I got back was fluff. And it's, we have this aura wrapped up that we're doing Christianese stuff because we're helping the Christian community. But when challenged on that from Scripture, silence. When trying to encourage, you know, and I left the door open more than once. If you want to engage me on the Scripture, please, I'm here. I'm reaching my hand out to you. And the response is silence. I've had people say I'm just dogmatic. Yeah, I believe in the Scripture. The, you know, again, take the blatantly obvious. All Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Not the marketer. Not the guy that's trying to rally his troops in order to build an institution. But the man of God. And in doing that, you're equipped for every good work. If you don't use the Scripture, you're not getting your equipment. You've got a problem. You know, and because I did some study a while back that some people will say the man of God, that means it's applying only to particular people. Yeah, it is. That's true. Not particular people as in a prophet or something of nature, but the follower of Christ. Because the Scripture is useless for anybody else. It really is. It's useless for anybody else. It's useful for the man of God. And I want to encourage others. I don't have to look it up. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Oh no, I better look it up. Yes, okay. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Don't be a wimp. Act like a man, or as it's translated when you see it in the Old Testament, be courageous. And the way courage and strength are shown by the man of God is it's shown in love. That is such a big deal. And I want to encourage my own. I want to encourage people like George. But there's this apparently this woman who says, no, we don't want him to see that. It's my son. So, bottom line is, I'm not sure if I'm doing the right thing. I don't know. It's like it was discussed recently. Did I do it in a video or did I do it in dialogue with Chris? I don't remember now. I think I might have made it, said it on video. Revelation 3:15. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold, hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That's uncomfortable words. Therefore, I will contend what I've done over the weekend, what I did today. I'm not sure what I'm doing. I may be going the wrong course by pursuing the things I pursued, but I'm pursuing it with vigor, asking the Lord to guide me, to correct me where I'm wrong. And until I get a correction, I'm going in the direction that seems right, as best I understand from Scripture. If I'm wrong, I pray the Lord corrects me with gentleness rather than with his wrath. But I can't just simply, I don't know what to do. Well, nothing seems to be working. So, I did those videos about, Social Security being theft. But I'll ignore that. I'm just going to go apply and just live a comfortable life and ignore all this stuff. Not a chance. Not a chance. I'm going to blow it, and I'll be willing to blow it badly in striving to be obedient to Christ. And I pray the Lord grants me his guidance before I blow it badly. And I follow in his ways, not in my own. But I'm not going to sit still, because that is very clearly disobedience to him. If I am essentially called to go to the Gentiles, some of these people don't look at the scripture as authoritative. They embrace abortion on demand. They embrace the homosexual community. And I want to be their friend. I want to be their ally. Because within that group, maybe the elect, because they're either hot or cold, and the Lord will take somebody that's that way and grant them that wonderful gift of repentance. So I don't run from them. I don't look at them and say, "You're dirty, I'm not going to talk to you." I say, "Hi, my name is John. Shall we have an interaction? Shall we engage each other? Shall we do things where we agree with fervor?" And then perhaps in our interaction we'll find, oh, there are some things we find that we disagree on. We will either have to agree to disagree, but celebrate what we agree on and work in that area. Or in the process, you may find out, maybe this guy is showing me something I didn't see before. And maybe the Lord will use this guy to show them himself. Nah, write him off, right? No, I'm sorry, I can't. So I did strive for that today. And Lord willing, the Lord's mercy will come. Because otherwise I'm in trouble. I need the Lord's mercy basically in the next 2 weeks. And it'd be nice if it was tomorrow. I want to show my kids an example of someone who says, I don't care what the world says. I'm looking at the scripture and saying, okay, that is my creator telling me what to do. And the best I understand, I'm going to strive to do that. He calls me fundamentally, again, that basic idea, believe, faith, and trust. It's all the same idea. And if I simply say, I believe, but I don't have any trust in him, I'm a fraud. I'm self-deceived. And what does trust result in? I think one of the ways, you know, it's like, you know, take the obvious example. When I first started my long distance hikes, the first ones were not long distance, you know, and 3 miles was enough, thank you. But then I pushed and I pushed and I pushed. Now a half marathon is kind of like, well, it's just, no big deal. The Lord does the same thing, I think, with your trust. You push your trust, sort of. Yeah, well, that's pretty close. You push your trust. You say, Lord, as far as I understand, this is the right path. Either show me my misunderstanding so I may correct my path, or I trust you and I'm going to follow this path. If you say, I don't trust you, the technical term, well, the Greek term is dilos. The English term is coward. And you're toast. But remember, the Lord doesn't leave the coward or the homosexual or the drunkard or the thief and so forth in his sin. When he shows mercy, he'll take people who have done all those things. You know, the 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you. And then includes the coward, as we see with Peter, and gives him boldness. I can see the cowardice in my past. I don't want to see it in my future. I want to encourage my kids to be the same way. And that's enough for today. I hope to be able to share good news, even as early as tomorrow. One of the greatest news to hear is my lady saying, I love you, let's reconcile. Because let me tell my lady, Dorothy Jane, my lady, I love you. Let's reconcile.